All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, excited to be talking to an individual set for quite the intriguing fight at BYB 18, and it goes down in the co-main event. The Cruiserweight Police Gazette World Diamond Belt is on the line, and a very compelling rematch as Marco Martignac and Jerome Hatch get out there into the mighty Trigon to test skills, and great and have Jerome on the show and, you know, talk about all of that. How's your day going there, man?
Hey, it's going pretty good. Just wrapped up the first little gym session, strength and conditioning, and got back here in time to hop on with y'all.
Yeah, and June 25th, definitely coming up real soon for that. A stacked card for sure, and I very much enjoy the concept of the card. A lot to talk about for sure, but before we get into all of that, just wanted to, you know, congratulate you on signing that 4-fight contract extension. That seems to be big news for sure.
Oh, hey, thank you. Yeah, it was a good thing, man. Try to keep it rolling. I'm glad they were able to, avoid the first half of the first one and kind of make new arrangements and, you know, a new contract to kind of fill it out. So we'll see what the next 4 fights brings.
Yeah, and this seems like a cool concept, just the whole USA versus UK thing that underpins the, you know, BYB versus BKB dynamic. Like, do you find that especially cool? Like, I feel like probably part of you is representing where you're from in each fight, but it seems especially pronounced here.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely got a lot of American pride. I get, you see me and my coach, we're really proud Americans, you know, patriotic. I got 2 flags on my body for tattoos. I love this country. Not really pleased with some shit right now, but, still love this country, and I think we can get back to our roots.
And it seems like you take pride in the Police Gazette belt, just the rich history. Can you speak to that, just now being, you know, part of the Police Gazette history?
Yeah, I didn't realize how big of a deal it was when I went to go and fight for it. Like, it was just another fight for me, and that's, you know, what it will always be, is just another fight. Cause there's no one fight that's more important than the other. I've had a dynamic change in my mental state over the last year, and I think things have really fallen into place with that. The Police Gazette, it was a huge thing, you know, because I've always wanted to just kind of stamp my name in history, and that was one of the many ways I plan to do so. That's why I teach my kids, you know, as a man, all you have is your name and your word. So when they both, you know, jive with one another, so I can really try to push being a good example for them and being able to, you know, accomplish things that I never thought was never a goal of mine. You know, like I said, this has just been a hobby that's really taken off for me and starting to take it full time along with, you know, other business ventures. But to have the oldest belt in combat history, you know, the 1884, you know, John Sullivan, all that, it was a huge thing. I have a display to my house, you know, right there, and then I got my other one there, and then, you know, start chasing some more. But to see where they all come from, you know, it was like the first original belt is awesome to be able to have that, and it's mine, you know, and something that my kids, I can pass down to my kids and give them something to also look forward to. So Scott Burt, he really filled us in on the whole thing. I've done a lot of research on the Police Gazette, the foundation, the belt, and just kind of where it comes from. It's amazing. It's a huge accomplishment. Like I said, I didn't realize, you know, the accomplishment it was until after I got it, you know.
Yeah, I love the insights, and you kind of touched on something, like you're looking to almost like make more history going forward. Like, what does that represent to you? Do you have certain particular goals going forward?
I do. You know, obviously I want to try to conquer every realm I can, and then most of all life, to where my kids have something to look forward to, and they really push me to trying to, you know, strive myself, even my fiance, trying to be the best that I can be, live a life that they're proud of, not only myself, but, you know, I mean, that's why we do it as men, right? So, make history, not only through the realm of combat sports, but you know, also in business, you know, with the business venture we're getting up and running right now, and just kind of things where, you know, I plan to change the world. You know, first we're gonna start with this country, and then we're gonna change the world. That's my goal.
Yeah, and it seems like multi-sport goals are part of that, too. I saw you had an MMA fight since your last bare-knuckle bout, and you got to capture some gold and also avenged a prior loss there. So it seems like there was a lot of cool dynamics at play there. Can you talk about, you know, what it was like winning that FFC light heavyweight title in April?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was something that I've been trying to lock down with that opponent for about 9 years. So, you know, it never aligned, and it finally did, and was able to run it back. And it was more of a, like I said, the belt wasn't no big deal to me because I wanted that fight, and I wanted that fight for a long time. But, you know, in order to, you know, jump from sport to sport, it's been really good. And also, like, this bare knuckle thing really has changed the dynamic of my mindset, and I think it's obviously helped in the MMA world too. So it's been really good in that aspect to be able to capture two belts within 5 weeks. You know, it's a good accomplishment. Like I said, I never look at things and think, oh, it's just kind of what cards are placed in my lap, placed in my hand, however you want to put it. And, you know, I always stay ready for the most part. So, I mean, I'm always there, always down. They call me a couple days before and I'd be ready to roll.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot to touch.
Also in two different weight divisions as well.
Yeah, very true. Showing the versatility just with you being the bare knuckle cruiserweight champion and that light heavyweight belt in MMA. So love to see that for sure. And definitely a lot to talk about with this rematch, but wanted to touch on the first fight a bit for sure, just to kind of set it up. I mean, one of the aspects you talk about making history, just that one being in Dubai and bringing the sport of bare knuckle out to there. Like, what was that like, just kind of, you know, traveling there and just being part of something like that?
You know, it was really good to actually go out there, not only because it's been a bucket list thing of mine. And I did it to, you know, go out there and be able to experience that and let this sport, you know, help me accomplish things on my bucket list as well, with the traveling aspect of life. You know, because I come up, you know, with my profession was ironwork, so I'd build skyscrapers and ethanol plants, power plants, things like that is what, you know, the power side of things, you know, also into the plants with the iron and rigging. So, you know, the aspect of being able to go out there and see the architecture was incredible. And then I was just going out there, you know, to fight. I was like, well, I mean, it's just a fight. So I don't ever think of fights. I don't let them get to me. It's just another day. It's another fight. I'm comfortable in there. So to be able to go out there, and like I said, it didn't really hit me till after. You know, once I had known, okay, it's the first one in the Gulf region, it's the first one here, this first, and it was just, I was able to headline it, and it was an incredible opportunity, and I was able to capitalize on it. So I'm looking forward to the rematch. I know their way around it, so, you know, as far as I think that he should have definitely, you know, fought a couple other guys to make his way back up, but they're doing a USA versus UK, a BYB versus BKB. So, and I think that, you know, as usual, the Americans are going to come out on top. No disrespect to the UK or to the people there. It takes a man to get in there and fight. But, you know, I believe in the team that we have with BYB, and I believe in the Trigon. You know, it's definitely something that gives us the upper hand as well. So, and to be able to do it the first ever Ryder Cup, Police Cadet Ryder Cup that they're doing, that's an incredible accomplishment too. So it's good to be able to be a part of that, bringing that home as well, you know, along with bringing my belt back home.
Yeah, I think it really serves the growth of the sport overall, having these cross-promotional events, like the best BYB guys against the best of BKB. So I think it really elevates the sport overall.
I agree with that. I hadn't watched any of the other guys fight. I said, for being somebody that's in the, you know, combat sports world, I rarely watch anything. I don't watch, you know, really footage. I mean, every once in a while I will, but, and I watch a couple on my guy, and then that's that. Once I can see what their weaknesses are, you know, open up their holes, then I'm done. And I just, I always think about it when I'm in their training and, different aspects, and you know, me and my coach, we bounce things off each other. And, hey, did you see this? Did you see this? Or we'll sit down, we'll watch it, a little bit of film, and we'll bounce back and forth on it. And even while we're in there training, hey, this will work too. What do you think about this? And you know, it's really good to put both of our minds together. And he just knows how to perfect it. I can have an idea, and he puts it into play. So, but I think the cross promotional thing, I think it's huge. Not only for the sport, but also for both promotions, you know, as far as elevating them both and, you know, getting them get them noticed more, you know what I mean? I can't think of that word, but where they can really spread their name and be able to get their names out there, along with all the fighters too.
Yeah, absolutely. And you kind of, you know, touched on it a bit there, like sort of saying maybe he should have gotten a couple before this rematch. Were you almost surprised that this rematch came about so soon, just the emphatic nature of your first round finish in the initial fight?
Yes and no. You know, he had said something about it, and I knew with his, you know, resume with BKB, I figured it'd make something happen, but I mean, it doesn't matter. You know what I mean? He can train. But there's one thing he can't train for my power. So, you know, it could take a few minutes for me to get it, and I'm going to get mine. So it doesn't matter. I mean, he's very technical. You know, he's long. He fights tall, you know, and I was able to, and I knew what I had to do to get in there to capitalize on that. And I did, and I'll do it again.
Yeah, it seems like the mighty Trigon lends itself to your fight style. Like, you talk about him fighting tall and fighting long. I feel like maybe there's not as much space to do that in the mighty Trigon. So, I mean, it seems like it would kind of favor your style a little bit. Like, have you found that in your performances in BYB so far? It would seem to be based on the results, but curious to ask you about that.
Yeah, I do. I think that the Trigon, or the almighty Trigon, and I really think that it does favor me in that aspect, because I like to fight. And when I say I like to fight, it's when I get in there, I don't like boring fights, right? So even with MMA, you know, there's a lot of boring fights. There's a lot of technical things go into it with the different types of martial arts that go into it, but they're boring for a standard a fan, you know, especially with people that have followed me for 18 years of my career. I go out there and I get it. You know, I put asses in seats because of that, because if you blink, you might miss it. Then you got to watch the replay. So that's one thing that I think that the Trigon really does help me with, is the ability of making you want to fight, because it's such a small surface area. I'm really, you know, I like that. Plus you can do the dirty boxing, you can get inside. Because if you don't move, you know, lateral, or you don't do anything, if I can cut you off, I can put you into your corner. And when you're in a corner, then you're really, you know, fucked. You know what I mean? So it's kind of one of them deals.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. I mean, seems to be the case with your style and the confines of the Trigon. So love to see that. But we were talking about, like, you know, using your career as a means to kind of get to travel and see the world. I mean, it seems like a cool thing to be able to go off to London and, you know, now defend this belt after that, you know, Dubai belt garnering win we were just talking about. And you've seemed to be respectful towards, like, the BKB guys in UK in general. Like, how does it feel to kind of be ready to defend the gold in London, England?
You know, it was when I first heard, when I first signed with them, you know, they were talking about, they were doing a show like a month or two later in London, you know, jumping across the pond. I was like, hell, I'd like to do that. 'Cause it's always been a goal of mine to fight outside of the U.S. You know, I had an opportunity to, you know, one other time in Canada, but with all the heightened bullshit that was kind of going on. I never was able to do that. So, you know, and it's still, it's connecting to the U.S. So be able to go over to London, I was like, hell yeah, I could do that. Well, when they called and they asked me about Dubai, I was like, I was mind blown. I was like, holy shit. Yeah, of course. You know what I mean? And then I knew that I had a little bit of homework to do, which it didn't take long. You know, he only had a couple fights, but, you know, when they called and asked, I said, yeah, absolutely. I've never turned down a fight. I never would. I don't give a shit who it is. So to be able to go over there to London and knock off another bucket list thing of mine, you know, for the travel spot, it's incredible. I really wish I was taking, you know, my kids and my girl, you know, my family with me. But we're going to go there. We're going to do our damn thing, and we're going to come home, and we're going to bring that belt home. So in order to get that opportunity to go there, and not only just go over there to fight, but actually to represent and be on Team USA is what really kind of got me. And I was like, hell yeah. You know, and you guys will see with my trunks, I got some new trunks and everything, a new setup. For those that do follow me on MMA, they've seen my banner. It kind of falls in line with that. And just, you know, my beliefs with the combat sports. So, you know, it's really cool.
Yeah, things have definitely loosened up a bit in my neck of the woods. So hopefully we can eventually get you out to Canada, though.
Yeah, I've wanted to, because there's a lot of hikes, man. I'm a very avid hiker, outdoorsman. So there's a lot of hikes that I've got marked on my, you know, TikTok and my, you know, Facebook and Instagram, stuff like that, that I definitely follow a bunch of hashtags. That way, when we do get up there, you know, we'll be able to go and take a week or two and go up and hike. I'd actually just got an invitation. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to take it to go up there and help a guy with, you know, the world champion with one FC, whatever, the MMA guy. He has the light heavyweight belt. And he was the one to come out there and train him because of his fighter coming up. And unfortunately, with everything, you know, I got full custody of my kids. So with the obligations that I have as a man, a father, and things like that, I wasn't able to get up there and spend as much time as I would like to with the guy, but told him to definitely keep me in the loop on the next one to be able to have that opportunity. Plus, you know, his fight's, I think, the day or two before mine. So, you know, I told him we'd... But yeah, next time, if I ain't got nothing lined up, then I'll definitely make it a priority to get out there. So that I love Canada and what I see. It was just, like I said, all that, you know, everything is hopefully, you know, getting loosened up to where we can make that happen.
Yeah, I mean, thankfully, a much more, you know, casual landscape and respect for, you know, always putting the family first. That seems to really come across from, like, the, I guess, research and backgrounding I did on you. Like, it really seemed like bringing the belt back home to your kids was especially a motivation. Like, obviously you want to win for your own benefit and you're a competitive driven person, but how much does, you know, bringing the belt back home to your kids really add that extra, I guess, fervor to your already strong motivation you have?
Yeah, absolutely. Just another notch for them to also look up to. And it's, you know, it's brought a lot of eyes also in the community and stuff, which, really has helped out with, you know, the next chapter of my life and what we're wanting to do, you know, as far as for helping kids and stuff like that with the business. So I think things are going to really take off back here, you know, where I stay in Texas right now, and then, you know, back home in Utah, where I'm trying to get back to. So, you know, I got some issues we're trying to take care of, and then we'll be back and getting everything launched up. So.
Yeah, and it seems like they're kind of getting into their own athletic endeavors too, like running and soccer, from what I could tell. So that must make you proud, kind of seeing them go on their own athletic journey and all.
Yeah, we definitely push that, you know, good health and fitness on these kids. Something I wish that I had more of growing up, as far as the proper eating and stuff. But, you know, I've been able to pass that down and continue to strive to make sure these kids are doing right with their sports, you know, baseball, soccer, you know, wrestling, whatever it is they put their mind to, football. Either way, we're making sure that their footwork's good, their ergonomics are good, and that way they can apply it to whatever sport that they choose to do, you know, track, all that. So
yeah, no, definitely awesome that you're doing that. And I feel like I'd be remiss if I didn't get some more specifics on this business endeavor you're working on. You seem to be, you know, fired up about it.
Yep. Nothing fires a man up, you know, than seeing his kids do, you know, better than what he was that age. And, you know, I'll strive to make them better than what I am. So, it's one of the things, but.
Yeah, you love to see that, but you were talking about the business. Like, what specific, like, lane of business are you in? Like, what are you getting up to in that regard?
So right now we're doing some camps. We're going to be doing camps for, you know, here and all around for bullying. You know, it's a huge thing that happens, and it affects more than people even understand. But also being able to tackle that, but also the, you know, when I get back home, we want to launch everything for, you know, the life skills, things they don't teach anymore, whether it's changing tire, oil, fishing, hunting, you know, things like that, to where they can, you know, how to survive, you know, little things like knots, putting up tents, things like that, to where these kids can have a life outside of what the school's teaching them, things that we know in life that you need. So just to teach them the life skills, you know, cooking and doing it all through health and fitness. That way, their priority is their own health, and then their mental state, well, everything else, it'll clear out. You know, these, they have a lot of things going on, with, you know, around the world, and a lot of it in our government, it's pushed onto these kids. And, you know, parents are easy to throw a screen in front of their kids versus going out and throwing a ball. So we want to make sure that, we give these kids, you know, a life outside of that, to where they can get their parents also active with them and bring it all in, because it takes community, right? So if we can create unity between one another, you know, as a community, and then we can grow it and grow it and just continue to grow this to where we change the, you know, the state, the country, and then, you know, eventually the world. So that's my goal, is to have, you know, different businesses staged throughout this country, in order to achieve that. So that's our main goal, is to, you know, create unity and you know, true health and fitness and life skills. So.
Well, it sounds like a great effort. I mean, definitely good to get out there and, you know, subvert bullying, and someone in your position, I think, can really serve a lot in that regard. But I guess just trying to be mindful of your time here, like, one of the last questions I have here, Jerome, because you've got quite the emphatic bare knuckle record, 3-0, all wins via first round finish. Are we expecting that trend to continue on June 25th?
Yes, sir. Yeah, I do. I do plan to take him out quick. I know that the last time I come in, you know, kind of sloppy. He was able to kind of he tagged me once, you know, really good, and dropped me. The other time I was on the back of my heels, but whatever, you know, they count it. Doesn't matter. Hit me right in the eyeball, and I couldn't catch my I couldn't see out of my left eye. So finally, you know, after I was trying to parry it, and he caught me a couple more times after that. I still couldn't see, so I just finally said, well, fuck it. So I closed my eye and started, just kind of went in for it at that point, and just, you know, fell back onto my natural instincts of what I've trained for. You know, my coach, we've done this, and to where it's just muscle memory. So I mean, no disrespect to him, but with the training and stuff that I do with my coach and the things that we do, I could do with my eyes closed. So, you know, and that thing, you know, with this rematch, you know, I've always made the joke, but I'm serious too. You know, they brought out the option on the last one. You know, this time they better bring the casket, because I'm not messing around with this guy. For him to want to take the rematch, and I only hit him twice, so that's fine. He's got a whole new world coming. So just hope that he goes out quick, or he's going to take a beating.
Well, I was excited for this rematch before talking to you, but definitely, you know, increasing after hearing your insights, man. And like I said, I want to, you know, be mindful of your time and schedule. I appreciate you coming on, but curious if there's maybe a final parting thought you might want to add as we're kind of wrapping up here, Jerome.
You know, there's really, really not much that I can say, as other than, you know, I'm really excited about going across the pond, defending this. I'm really excited to go and really settle it, and put it to ease, to where he knows that he ain't got a chance of beating me. and he'll never want to step in the ring again with me when I'm done with him on this one. I'm already in his head nonstop. So everything I post, him or his coaches, everything looking right away. And I love it. I'm just living right through in his head. But there's one thing that he can't train for, and that's my power. So he's got to figure it out because I'm coming for him. I'm going to come hard. There is no – I'm not giving no mercy, no nothing. I'm coming out, and I'm going to hurt him. So hopefully hopefully the ref stops before I do. I know it's a sport, but I will shake his hand afterwards. But until then, we're both in there to do the same thing, and I promise you I will come out on top.
Very compelling fight. There's a lot going into it, a lot of championship belts and high-level bare-knuckle skills involved. And, yeah, I mean, June 25th can't come soon enough. Very excited for, I mean, this Marco Martignac rematch specifically, but the entirety of the BYB 18 card. Just such a great concept. So thanks so much for the time, Jerome, ahead of this Cruiserweight Police Gazette Diamond Belt title defense, and you have a good rest of your day, man.
Yeah, hey, I wanted to say one thing as well, man. I wanted to ask you, what this is going to be on. But first off, I do want to thank my coach, Shane Stoneman. He comes out. He's been staying with me, but he comes out to make sure that I'm training and I'm ready for this stuff. He's an incredible coach. He utilizes my strengths, and it's really cool to see what he can do versus, a lot of coaches and a lot of things, they do like that whole common core shit where they teach everybody the same things. And he teaches shit that works to your strengths. So, I do want to thank him for that. It's incredible, and I don't thank him enough. So, but I do want to know, on your end, what this is going to be under. Like, what, that way I can share it, when it'll be out, who it's through. What organization or whatnot. That way I can just watch out for, or I can give you a follow on Facebook or whatever it is. I do have my socials, which is all, the Hatchet MMA through Facebook and Instagram. And then also Hatch Magic on YouTube. I just started a YouTube channel, going to start getting that stuff up and rolling.
Oh, that's awesome to hear. I mean, yeah, I could definitely send you the relevant links through social media. It should be on Spotify and probably get a YouTube video out of it and then a written feature on Bare Knuckle News. So yeah, I could hook you up with any of those relevant links there for sure, man. Just send you the link to your Instagram or whatever works.
Dude, I greatly appreciate you having me on, man. It really does. It means a lot. Thank you for taking the time.
Likewise, man. Great getting to talk. You have a very exciting style that I've been enjoying so far. So great to finally have you on the show. But yeah, you enjoy the rest of your day, man. And looking forward to the fight.
Yes, sir. All right, man. Be good.
All right. On this episode of Bouks Talking Bouts, excited to be speaking with an individual set to compete in a very intriguing fight at BYB 18, which goes down on June the 25th. And the Police Gazette World Cruiserweight Diamond Belt going to be on the line as Jerome Hatch steps into the mighty Trigon against Marco Martignac for a very compelling rematch. And great having Marco on the show for the first time. How's your day going there, man?
Hello, my day is going fine. Relaxing and cutting weight. And yours?
Yeah, no, can't complain. I'm, doing what I love, getting to talk to, fighters ahead of big events. And this very much fits within that, I think. Like, I love the crossover dynamics with BKB and BYB. And then also the theme of, like, the U.S. versus the U.K. kind of thing. Like, what was your, initial thought when being part of this event was kind of put out to you? Like, I imagine you were excited for that specific fight, but in terms of just like the structure of the event, like promotion versus promotion, country versus country, like did that kind of get you fired up a bit, or what were you kind of thinking there?
First, I don't represent Team UK, I represent Team Europe. We are Team Europe because I'm not from the UK, I'm from Croatia. I'm very honored to be a part of this team, and I can't wait next week to fly in London and fight against Jerome.
Yeah, for sure. And that was kind of in something I was going to touch on a little bit, because a lot of the marketing is kind of framed with that US versus UK dynamic, but very much representing Croatia for sure. So this seems kind of like another opportunity to be able to do that. Like, I imagine each of your fights, there's a certain sense of wanting to represent Croatia, but it seems like the promotional material for this is very much like, rep where you're from, like that kind of thing.
I didn't get it because you're Your voice a little was down. I didn't get you.
Oh, sorry. Just saying that it seems to present a good opportunity here to, like, especially represent where you're from. Like, I imagine you do that in each fight, but it seems like the promotional material for this very much is more focused on that, even.
Yeah, I'm very glad to fight next week. We fighters, I think that we are here just for our own, you know. We fight, we are in that trigon ring where we put us, we are alone in there, you know. So we fight for ourselves. But be part of this good team is, I think it's very good for my country. I think this is the best because I'm the only Croatian fighter who fights in bare knuckle boxing, especially in a BKB and BYB on a high level. And that's it. I can't wait.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, very much, you know, seemed like a cool opportunity last time out. I mean, maybe based on a podcast interview I was listening to, maybe it was kind of inconsequential. Like, it seems like you're down to kind of fight wherever, but just like the historic, you know, Dubai card, just getting bare knuckle out there. Like, was it sort of cool in a way to kind of be a part of something like that, though? Like, just getting to travel, or is the location kind of inconsequential and you're just like, oh, whatever, I'm just down to fight?
Well, listen, usually I fight in Europe. I didn't fight in America. I didn't fight in Asia. I didn't fight. So Dubai was a perfect opportunity for me to travel in the Middle East and fight there and promote myself there. But to be honest, I want to forget that Dubai because I lost to Jerome. So it is like a bad memory for me.
Were you almost expecting to get this immediate rematch, though, like a chance to kind of rectify what happened in that initial fight with Jerome Hatch? Like, can you, I guess, give your thoughts in that regard?
Well, listen, fights went like went. I dropped him two times down, and I felt cocky and I lowered my guard, and he caught me, you know. And after the fight, when they were stitching my ear, I talked to Jim from BKB, to him, and I told him, listen, tell the Mike I want a rematch. I want immediately a rematch in June because I know I'm a better fighter than him, you know. And he caught me two times. Two times it was enough to knock me out, but personally, everybody who saw the fight who are not the fans of Jerome and the guys who are neutral, I said I was a better fighter and I should get that rematch. And I get that rematch and I'm very happy because of that. Some of the guys, listen, it was a heavy knockout, you know. It was the first time somebody knocked me out like that because I have over 400 fights in boxing, amateur boxing, kickboxing and stuff like that. And somebody would rest like 6 months, no sparring sessions, no nothing, but not me. My head is crazy, and I said to them, I want if they want, I want to fight next day. I want to fight, so I have no problem with that.
Yeah, and you touched on the experience in other combat sports, and during your interview with Aaron Tohill, I was checking out there. It seemed like in boxing, you were often kind of slated in like that journeyman kind of role, just in as far as getting like big money offers, but like a couple days out from fight night without the chance to kind of optimally prepare yourself. But it seems like with bare knuckle, it really presents people with the opportunities to just assert themselves as the A side by virtue of how they compete. Like, is that a refreshing sort of thing for you to be a part of?
Yeah, because listen, every martial arts, boxing, kickboxing, it's a martial arts, you know. And I think the bare knuckle boxing is like a real combat sport, you know. You have to be focus 500%, you know, and one slip, one mistake, you can be heavy knockout in sports with a glass. So especially if you don't pay attention in the class, you get knocked in the bare knuckle like me in Dubai. But that is the sport, you know, and we are all I'm very glad that I'm in BKB, so I can prove myself. Every fight I want to prove myself as the best.
Yeah, and it seems like you see the growth potential in the sport too, because it looked like for a couple of years you were competing in gloved boxing and bare knuckle at the same time, but since March 2018 onward have seemingly like solely focused on bare knuckle. So it really seems like you see the upward mobility in this sport.
Yeah, this is my home, you know, because listen, I'm with BKB from September 2016, I think. That was the first BKB legal event, so I am with them from there. So I think you have to be a very, very good technician. You can have a solid amateur career and not so good professional career, but it's not the matter. So if you're not so good in the professional boxing like me, I was German, you can be the best in bare knuckle. So there is no rules, but I always think that better technicians, school guys, are better fighters than brawlers.
Yeah, and I was noticing that and doing my backgrounding on you, like just in the sense of you competed on BKB1. So I feel like it's really cool that you're kind of part of this team and kind of representing the brand in that regard. And it seems like they're really growing in terms of like the North American awareness. Like I feel like people in North America knew to a degree what BKB was doing, and obviously a great foothold in Europe and have been doing it for quite a while now, like the longest modern bare knuckle promotion at this point. So I guess can you speak to the growth of the company there since you were someone who fought on that inaugural card?
Well, listen, from the first day I was fighting for them, we were fighting some like it was a low class gyms, you know, and no offense to BKB, but you have to start for something, you know. But every show they have now is O2 Arena, so I don't know any promotion in the world that gets every 5-6 times a year that kind of arena in their so they can put the events there. And I'm very glad because I love BKB, I love to fight, I love to bare knuckle, and I'm very happy because I'm the team of Team Europa, and that is it.
Yeah, and like I was kind of touching on a bit before, I feel like this partnership has really kind of just helped uplift the sport overall. Like I love the BYB and BKB crossovers. Like I've seen individual talents kind of go back and forth on previous cards even from this, but seems like an ambitious effort with this like Ryder Cup-esque kind of, you know, our guys versus their guys kind of dynamic. Can you speak to, I guess, like the benefits of that, you know, cross-promotional dynamic? I would think that would be good for you as a fighter, just a chance to fight the best talent across two different promotions.
Yeah, I like that, you know, because when I fought Chase Kelly, I didn't know that he is a BYB guy, you know. I saw his fights, but I didn't know that he has contract with them. I was thinking he was also a Bernard, maybe KB fighter. So it's really good because the best of the best can match each other, you know. I go in America, somebody from America come to London and Dubai and stuff like that. So this is a good stuff, you know, because every fighter wants a challenge in the life. And I am also like that because I don't like monotone, you know. Because when you have a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 wins in a row, you get used to that. And you think you are untouchable, like me was thinking in Dubai. But this is good because I said to Barry Jones to fight Tommy Turner and me fighting Hesch. So it's gonna be a great card. I like that.
Yeah, and you've kind of touched on it a couple times there. Like it seems like from what you can tell, like the biggest, I guess, turning point in that fight was, I guess, just like getting overconfident after the pair of knockdowns against Jerome Hatch. Is like, I guess, the biggest amendment in this fight just going to be kind of maintaining that temperament across like the distance more so, as opposed to like, not saying you're not going to pursue the finish obviously, but just kind of not getting back into that pocket of maybe getting overconfident, for lack of a better way to phrase it.
Well, listen, I don't think, listen, this time I'm going to be smart, you know. Last time I was so full of myself, you know, and he, with that KO, he landed me on the earth. I was thinking that I was untouchable, that I can, that nobody will beat me. But shit happens, and Jerome caught me two times, and the fight finished like it finished. But this time I'm gonna be smart. This time I'm gonna be boxer. I'm not going to be brawler.
Yeah, fair enough. And is there a certain familiarity that comes from, you know, now getting ready to get back into the Trigon? Like, did you, like, I guess, take any experiences from that initial effort that could lend itself to, you know, this one just being more familiar with, like, the uniquely, you know, compact kind of space there?
Interesting question. Because of that, I was talking to the guys, English guys who fought in Trigon, and they say it's like a small surface, you know? And when I come, when they put the ring in Trigon in Dubai, I was, oh my God, this isn't so much space, you know. Okay, you have three angles, not four. But if you are a boxer like me, you don't need so much space. You need 1 meter and that's it. 1 meter to just to put your distance and that's it. Because he's lower than me, and I know what I have to do. And I don't think that Trigon is so scary like they were saying. For me, it's cool, you know. I like it.
Yeah, and just such a cool fight here. Like, I was talking to Jerome the other day and just talking about, I mean, not only is it a compelling rematch in that sort of sense, but just the amount of titles that are, you know, kind of caught up in all of this, just being the fact that you're the BKB World Super Middleweight Champion and, you know, the Police Gazette cruiserweight belt being on the line here. And I mean, such a rich, lengthy history with that Police Gazette belt. Is that something that would hold a special level of importance to you, just kind of being, I guess, interwoven into that rich history of the Police Gazette belt if you get your desired outcome here?
Well, listen, I'm already I'm BKB Super Middleweight and Police Gazette Super Middleweight Champion of the world. So the BYB and BKB have some similarities with the weight, but they called cruiserweight, we call middleweight. So I think it will be the best that the organizations have same weight, you know. So there is no confusion with that. And listen, every fight I fight is for the title. I have like 9 fights in BKB in bare knuckles. First fight was for the belt. Third fight was for the belt. And every fight from there, I was defending my cruiserweight belt. And then I won in December super middleweight 2 belts. So yeah, I like belts. So everybody likes belts.
Yeah, probably. You got like a space on the mantle kind of dedicated for this one. Like, are you going to be setting something up late June if you know, get this belt and everything like that? You already have got a spot mapped out for it or something?
Do I have a spot in my home for the belt or what? I didn't get you.
Yeah, I'm just saying, do you got like a spot on the mantle kind of mapped out for the belt if you get your...
Right behind me. There are all my belts, but look, this is my belt. This is first BKB, and this is Police Gazette somewhere here, and Medellin. But my belt, also from BKB, is at my friend's house. He's keeping it, and I don't know where is my WKF World Kickboxing belt. Somewhere here, it's my parents' house, so I have a nice collection of the belts, and I keep incoming for them.
Yeah, I mean, definitely an impressive collection of titles across a few combat sports, but a fellow Croatian that also shares in that distinction of having multiple belts across a few combat sports is Mirko Krokop, and I'm curious to kind of get some insights from you in that sense, because from watching your Aaron Tohill chat, I understand you grew up watching Mirko and have since kind of become a good friend of his. Can you kind of talk about that timeline from, like, the fandom to, I guess, becoming good friends with Mirko Krokop?
Listen, I can tell that I'm so good friends with Mirko, but we knew each other and we did a couple of trainings together. And I was, one time I was supposed to go to his gym, and maybe there, if I did that, maybe I would be at the part of his team, but unfortunately the life pushed me in another way and I couldn't get that day to his gym. And listen, every Croatian fighter will tell you he started to fight because of Mirko Krokop, you know. I didn't start to fight because of Mirko Krokop. I started to fight because I was a problematic child, you know. And I was the bad behavior. I started fighting on the streets and I was going to the football matches, and that is how I started to fight, you know, to compile my better energy, something good. But Mirko is the greatest fighter in Croatia who ever lived, and I think that nobody will never touch the scale what he put. Everybody in Croatia grew to watch Mirko, you know, especially my generation. This younger generation, they have some new idols. We have like Petar Emelianenko, Mirko Krokop, Minotaur. That is the guys who I watched when I growing up. But Mirko is our best of the best, and I think that nobody will do things what he did.
Yeah, no, I hear you, man. Like, I'm a Canadian guy, but Mirko Krokop was one of the first guys that really got me into combat sports, and I mean, really one of my, you know, favorite fighters as we still kind of talk about it today. So I get what you're laying down there. Such a great run of highlights and stuff like that. I mean, very few guys that kind of had that level of ferocity and impact and skill.
Yeah, I agree with you. I watched his highlights like a million times in my life.
Yeah, no, same. I can definitely undulate with that sentiment there, but I got to get the insights on the nickname here because I quite enjoy it. The synchronicity of it, just the marvelous Marco Martignac Triple M. Like, who gave you that moniker? Like, what's the backstory of the nickname?
Listen, I fought Michael Ferry in my first BKB fight, you know, and I was like 102 kilos and Ferry was like 117, something like that, you know. And I lost that fight. We had stoppage in the third round because he was heavier, he was pushing me, he punched me in the lunge. I was like, I couldn't get rid, you know. And Jimmy Sweeney, the king of BKB, we are very good friends and we are from BKB 1, we are, you know, like homies, like brothers. And it was like on the Facebook was which nickname we should give to me, and they put marvelous, you know, guys that he voted for them, and so because of that I am the marvelous Marco Martignac Triple M, you know. That's like a sympathetic story.
Yeah, I love the alliteration. Triple M always gets me fired up. Any nicknames like that, like Triple H the Wrestler, like I'm always down for stuff like that. There's a certain synchronicity. Another one, yeah, great boxer. Definitely a guy I very much enjoy watching too. He's had some great throwdowns over the years.
I love him. I love him. Golovkin is a machine.
Oh yeah, truly. I mean, just a great representation for Kazakhstan and one of the most exciting middleweights ever, certainly of this generation. But I feel like you very much bring an exciting style to the ring, as evidenced by the fact that you've never once gone the distance in a bare knuckle bout, from what I've noticed. Does that trend continue on June 25th?
Listen, in my fighting career, too many fights were robbed by the judges, you know. Like in professional boxing, I fought in Italy and Italy, and I won against guy and he won against obviously I won and they gave him the one. So I don't like that. So I'll never leave stuff to judges and I always go for the win. Listen, but This time I'm gonna box. I'm not going to go to get into brawling with him. I'm gonna box him. I'm not going to push him something. I will let it with the flow.
Yeah, I love the mentality for sure, and been great getting to talk to you, Marco. I feel like we've covered a fair bit of territory here, but curious if there's maybe any final parting thought you might want to add as we're wrapping up here, like maybe something we didn't touch on or just like a final parting thought in general.
No, we talk about everything, and I just want to say to the fans to come to the O2 Arena next Sunday. They're going to enjoy it, buy the pay-per-view, and see you.
Yeah, it's a stacked card, BYB 18, and very excited for June 25th. A lot of compelling bouts on this card, and certainly a very compelling one that's very much at the top of that list is the rematch between yourself and Jerome Hatch. So excited to see how that Police Gazette Cruiserweight Diamond Belt fight goes and everything like that. But moreover, just appreciate you making some time to talk before the fight, man. You have a good rest of your day, Marco.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting me.